This is our Halloween episode.
That's our intro.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Bioscope Brasa. This is the show where two Brasa talk movie news, reviews, shorts, and some cuck in between. My name is Ross.
And I'm Jody.
And this is the second time we're doing this because I didn't press record.
We won't tell anyone how far in we were the last time.
We were quite far.
That's what she said.
Oh, my word. What did we even say the first time around? So I had COVID. That's why we didn't record last week. Or the week before, whatever.
Yeah, you finally, I finally got it.
Yeah, I couldn't, somehow couldn't resist.
They should just test me at this point because everyone around me had to accept me.
The anomaly. You are a scientific miracle.
I'm that person in World War Z that Brad Pitt was looking for.
Patient Zero. Yeah.
Actually, no. Patient Zero is the first one who got sick.
Yeah,
I'm just immune.
I
am Vin Diesel in every Fast and Furious movie. I have plot
immune
armor.
To death. Well, all of them actually. Tyrese even pointed out. But anyway. So that's why we didn't record, but I'm back like a herpes. And,
like your favorite STI.
So is Jody. A little second herpes, a little gonorrhea, whatever.
Gonorrhea, sadly underrated as an STI.
Sadly.
You know? Sadly. People always like, think word. Syphilis, they think herpes, hep C, hep B.
Hep B.
AIDS. All the hips. But gonorrhea, they don't know how to spell it, so they don't talk about it.
Yeah, I'm just thinking now, how do you spell gonorrhea?
There's an H in there somewhere.
There is.
It's like diarrhea.
Yeah, like chrysorrhea. Anyway, so on that note, once again, let's get into the news.
News and shorts.
Big moves at DC. Let's run through the headlines and then discuss them. James Gunn and Walter Matthau taking over. What's the other guy's name?
R.I.P. Walter Matthau from a long time ago.
Yes, grumpy old man.
Grumpy old man, Dennis the Menace, but
odd couple.
Yes. Yo, Eman and Jack Lemmon.
They were chef's kiss together. Perfect. Anyway,
James Gunn and Peter Safran.
Peter Safran taking over as co-chair, executive co-members, together.
Co-chairman and co-CEOs. Let's bring clarity to the conversation.
Clarity is key. So they co-running that motherfucker.
Yeah, and you clarified for me that Peter Safran is actually the TV guy. Like,
yes,
that's his background.
He's the TV guy because you've never heard of him. Yeah. I never heard of him until I read that he was a TV guy.
Cool.
So I assume the co is going to be James Gunn heading the big picture, which is
literal
the silver screen, and Peter Safran heading a small picture, which is the day-to-day of The Office.
So does that include like CW, all of those series?
Oh my God, they need to get off CW.
Why?
those shows are trash.
In any case, this was a...
Abby still gets PTSD if she hears that. My name is Barry Allen, and I'm the fastest man alive.
Because he's not.
No, he's not. He's never. And the only reason he gets hit is because he's standing still. It makes no sense. The flash makes no sense. Anyway. Other big news before we move on to our feelings on this is Henry Cavill is back as Superman.
He is officially back after months and months of speculation of will he come back, won't he come back, what's the status of the DCEU. Yeah. Henry Cavill has confirmed he's back as Superman. He's made his first appearance.
Yeah, he's made his first appearance in Black Adams.
Yeah, the post credits.
Yeah,
so I mean, it's theoretically a spoiler, but they've put it out everywhere, like in all their marketing. So
yeah.
I don't feel like we're spoiling anything at this point.
That's not a good sign if they're marketing a post credit.
Kind of speaks to the quality of the movie when you have to hype a film.
I've heard it's not great. I've heard it's middle of the road, and I heard it's quite formulaic and generic.
Actually. The Rock?
Yeah.
Middle of the road and formulaic?
How dare I?
How dare you?
But like we said the first time when we weren't recording, The Rock doesn't really make great films. No, he makes lowest common denominator crowd-pleasing films, which do work for the most part, but...
I mean, it's not like he has a ton of range.
He's got more range now. He's got more range now than he did before.
Yes, but he's charismatic. Mm. He looks great on camera. And that's all he really taps into when he makes his movies. I mean, good for him. Dude is like busting Hollywood right now.
Will there be rock fatigue? Do you have rock fatigue?
I'm not there yet, but I think it's because the people who've given me fatigue, like Kevin Hart and a few others, they just went like so overboard. I feel like The Rock is still kind of spacing it out. And he was doing Ballers and movies at the same time. Maybe it was getting there.
Yeah, yeah. No, I just think his best film is The Rundown.
Yes.
And he hasn't peaked
without
since.
Question. Natural Rock. Mm. He was a nice size there.
Yeah, he was a nice size. He had hair. I mean, not that
what's
that's
his face? Sean William Scott. Playing off of him.
Such a great film.
Yeah.
But okay, so that, at the moment, that is their big film. And now James Gunn and Mr.
Peter
Safran.
Safran.
Yeah, very expensive Safran.
Yeah, most expensive per weight.
Yeah,
per
100%. So they're taking over. How do you feel about that?
I'm excited for James Gunn taking over the film side of things. The man knows what to do with characters.
Mm.
He's great at bringing obscure characters into the mainstream, which is something DC might need now because their mainstream characters are just so bloody big.
So big.
And
but you know what he also
I'm
brings?
I'm excited, man.
You know what he brings that, this is going to sound cheesy and corny as shit, but he brings that DC lacks is heart.
Definitely. We will not mention our other favorite director, but
that was my favorite Captain Planet ring. Was Hart.
Hart, the Native American.
No, I'm joking.
He could control a monkey with that.
It was everyone's favorite was fire. Come on,
because he was American
and ginger.
No, I was into wind. I had a thing for the speeds.
Oh, really?
Uh-huh.
Oh yeah, she was a speed.
Yeah,
wind, earth, wind. Yeah,
blow the wind. In any case, so if you compare what James Gunn tends to bring to his movies, which is you feel his love for characters in his films, where
but
we've
also
heard how other people like and love comics, but I don't get that sense when I watch the films.
Yeah, so I think it's a welcomed addition to the DC family. I hope that he doesn't get throttled.
I just hope that there's less contentious issues now with DC.
Like, no, their universe needs to be cleaned up. They don't need necessarily a Marvel vision, but things need to get cleaned up, especially with Ezra Miller being Ezra Miller. Like, I don't know the future of that franchise now with The Flash. Because Ezra Miller has... It's currently, the court case is coming.
There's one case that has started already.
Yeah.
The one for assault.
Yeah.
I think we did the stuff on the family's lawn or whatever. But, you know.
They did the stuff.
Yeah, where they did the stuff on the lawn.
Mm.
But I
it's
think
always
that,
there, mate.
I think that the way that DC is positioning themselves here is we are going to release that movie and make a decision after the movie.
Because apparently the movie's good.
Well, I'm seeing mixed things, eh?
Oh,
they're talking about there might be some bad representations of certain characters like Supergirl in that film. Yeah. People are worried about that.
Yeah. But it can't be worse than the CW show.
No. So. No.
They must kill the CW. Then I hope that Mr. Safran
does that. If there's anything that you take from this.
Kill the CW.
Keep Peacemaker. Tell her what you must.
Yeah, but I mean, we'll see. As with all of this shit, we'll see what they. I feel like they'll strategize, and then some announcements will come, and then they'll try and energize the fan base.
This is the most excited I've been for DC in terms of their decision making for a long time. So I'm hoping.
No,
for
I
good
mean
things.
The Batman was a great win, and Matt Reeves' universe.
Yes. That is, but I'm talking about DC big picture now.
Yeah,
Batman is an anomaly in a field of shit.
Yeah.
But like DC big picture, I'm big hoping picture that does DC. Brings clarity
100%.
To what they do.
I wear. Exciting stuff. So Jody's headline, is Disney. Disney CEOs are stupid. Let's see what this is about, shall we?
Because we've clearly done our prep. Clearly done all our prep.
Look, I'm not the best at prep when it comes to news, but films, I know what I'm doing. So Disney CEO Bob Chapek surrounds himself in controversy once again as he claims that animated movies are for kids and adults don't like them.
Don't you just love it when the head,
stupid,
the head of Disney,
yes, but
is operating with this mind.
Listen, I would have come to realize in my adult life is that first of all, no adult knows what they're doing.
No, you and I are adults.
Which is a
sad state of humanity
is happening, but. Take that into account that CEOs are also adults and they also don't know what they're doing.
I know, but then, I mean, surely there should be filters before a statement like this gets out into the mainstream.
He's the CEO. Who's going to tell him?
You pay people to tell you, don't say that stupid shit. I mean, the reason I said CEOs is because we know all the cuck Ike Perlmutter was doing and how he almost torpedoed the MCU because of his sexist and racist views. Yes. And now we have this guy, and it's like, it starts off with a subtle... This shit is for kids, not for adults. And then, you know, maybe drip, drip, we start hearing some more things.
Yeah.
Just keep quiet.
Just keep quiet.
Let the people who know what they are doing keep doing what they are doing.
Has he not seen, like, the success of Into the Spider-Verse and stuff? Like,
has he watched a single movie?
Yeah, it's like, I don't understand. Toy Story fans are not necessarily kids. I mean,
dude, it's like Pixar, which falls under the Disney umbrella. Has released some of the best movies ever. Has he watched any of them?
I don't
think Does he know what happens in these shows?
I don't think so.
It's concerning. I mean, honestly, I get worried because, like, let's say you have animators coming through and, or not just animators, but filmmakers coming through with fantastic ideas and they want to use the medium of animation to tell that story. If the CEO is saying stuff like this at Disney, what's the likelihood that those stories are going to always get told?
Yeah.
You start getting ideas of, no, this guy's not going to support us, and these movies just, like, never get made, or that type of shit.
No, it's bullshit.
And this guy's the CEO of Disney. Your main thing is animation. Does he know where they came from?
No, I don't think he does. And I think Walt Disney is turning in his
icebox. His head is
in his cryogenic chamber.
The head is in a separate part of the rest of the body. So
he was an anti-Semite and racist. Fuck that guy. I think that's also why they're doing all these live action. I mean, we know why, but I mean...
The remakes.
Pushing the live action. Yeah.
You see, that could actually...
Pinocchio is not
I haven't
good,
even watched
apparently.
It, but I've stayed away. Yeah. With Tom Hanks's Geppetto, what could go wrong? It's a me, Geppetto.
He's not even Italian. Yo, speaking of, I know you didn't include it. Yeah, the Mario trailer.
Yeah, with your favorite Mario ever.
Chris Pratt's new voice.
Chris Pratt.
Chris Pratt.
Chris Pratt.
Yeah, it's normal.
Yeah.
I don't know what people expected. I expected...
I expected
it's me, Chris Pratt. I'm fucking Chris Pratt. Like, why didn't they just get the original voice actor?
Yeah, shame that guy's like, hey guys, I'm around if you need me. I mean, yeah, he is doing a couple of voices in there. I think we covered that.
Still though, I mean, Mario is iconic and his voice is iconic in the games and everything. But maybe they, okay, first of all, it's a big star, so you want a bankable star, but
is that really as important?
No,
for an
I don't
movie?
Think so. I don't
no,
think
like,
so.
Like, honestly. Especially one that has a, like, this is from a TV game, so.
Yeah.
Well, I say TV game.
And yeah, I wasn't going to correct you.
This is from a game, and there is a built-in audience here, so you don't really need, you don't need a famous person to sell the material.
I don't.
It's got a big enough audience as
yeah,
is.
I don't. Kanye West, or Ye, previously known as Kanye West. He's been doing the rounds, eh?
Yeah, I was going to say, he's taken time out of his busy schedule offending everyone else to make some movie news.
Let's see if Alton can defend this one. Alton is our friend. He's a huge Kanye West fan. Like, huge.
Whatever Kanye does.
Yeah, he'll justify something. But yeah, Kanye's been on the anti-Semitic thing. But also what pisses me off is that he's been saying anti-black shit like the whole time. And he didn't get cancelled for that.
Yeah, and there's no issue with it. And then as soon as he says something that's
anti-Semitic and then he loses all his deals.
Mm-hmm.
And then I saw the latest comment.
What's the latest one? I can't keep up.
The latest comment is him sympathizing with the family of George Floyd and saying now after losing his Adidas deal, he knows what it feels like to have a knee on his neck.
Ooh. Oh.
I would strap that man down and feed him his medication. Like, just get him therapy. Like, what is going on? But
you know, this kind of speaks to the sickness of society's fascination with someone who's clearly unwell. Also,
they love it.
Why are people putting mics in this guy's face all the time to get because these reactions?
Because they know that he's going to say something controversial. I stopped, I said I was done when I saw the... I mean, I was having issues the whole time. I didn't, like, stream his music. I was, like, downloading it illegally. I don't care.
Of course.
And then when I saw the White Lives Matter t-shirt, I was like, okay.
With Candace Owens.
Yeah, so I said, nah, I'm done. I'm done with this shit now. I don't give a shit what he does. I don't care what he releases or whatever. And then it just got worse and worse, like, with the anti-Semitic stuff and all that other jazz. So I was like, I'm cutting him off. But he keeps popping up.
I know, and then I went and found this random nugget.
But this is relevant to our podcast.
There's actually film news. He took time out of his busy schedule to make some film news as well.
No, because if you listen to him and you listen to his interviews, he is a huge film nut.
Yeah.
He's always referencing movies and stuff. And characters and all sorts of
things. And the idea that he had within this article is actually a fascinating
idea. Tell us about the idea.
So, first of all, the news.
Yeah, the news, the actual...
That Quentin Tarantino had to go around and he's doing the rounds because his book is coming out and clarify that he did not steal the idea for Django Unchained from Kanye West. The story, as per Kanye, is that he had a meeting with Quentin and Jamie Foxx. Well, he had a meeting with Quentin while he and Jamie Foxx were doing the music video for Gold Digger.
Mm.
And he pitched this idea where in his music video for Gold Digger, he would be a slave.
Mm-hmm.
And according to him, Quentin then took that and him and Jamie Foxx ran off with the idea to go and film Django Unchained. Yep.
They ran immediately.
Jamie didn't even finish recording all of his music.
He didn't even get out of his wardrobe or whatever. He just ran.
But the idea that Kanye had, and Quentin Tarantino says he himself thinks this would have been cool if he could pull it off, was just controversial. But the idea for him to play a slave in that music video, first of all, because they had no idea how it would work. But then also, he actually met with lots of different movie directors at the time.
Mm.
And for that album, he was going to have different directors direct each video and then make it into a movie, basically, and release that when the album came out.
Mm.
Which, again, that's highly original. Would have been completely fascinating to see what they pulled off.
Yeah.
But, I mean, the idea that that little thing that he said was the genesis for Django Unchained. It's a bit of a stretch, right?
A little bit of a stretch, but you never know what sparks ideas. I mean, I don't think Kanye is owed anything for Django, but maybe it sparked the idea, but not to the point where he's like owed anything.
No, I don't think so. Also, the Django character was based off of that Italian spaghetti westerns. In any case, remember the guy was in the movie
Sergio Leone vibes. But I mean, what would have even been the point of him being a slave? Because it was a choice, remember?
It was, yeah. According to...
Fucking guy.
I actually saw a video where a guy cucked him out about that.
No. Yeah, he was at the TMZ headquarters.
Yes, and the guy was like, when you say these things, like your experience now as a person in a position of power is different from me and...
I must say there was one... podcast that I watched at Lex, I think his name is Lex
Friedman.
Yeah, that interview, it's a long one.
Yeah, his things are very long for me.
But the way he lets Kanye speak and his responses to Kanye is the best I've seen so far.
He's very, he doesn't let people get off when he asked him about things. He had Carlos Mencia on with the whole stealing jokes things. And he kept confronting him on it as well. But he does his thing very well.
Yeah,
like holding you accountable to what you say.
The saddest point thing is they spoke for like 2 hours.
And nothing changes.
No, yeah, because you would think so. I mean, in the podcast, you can tell that Kanye respects him, right?
Yeah.
And they're discussing things and Lex like says, you know, why he's offended and all this stuff and explains. And they get to the point and it's just so sad that Kanye took none of that in.
Yeah.
They spoke for so long and whatever and Kanye was still, yeah, but. What about this?
Dude, that is the nature of society.
I'm like, fuck, man.
I came out of diversity training this week at work, and like that,
hey.
That's like 6 hours of diversity training.
Oh,
and it's
shit.
Like, that polarity of society is just, you and I could have a conversation now. We would both explain things perfectly to each other.
Mm.
People would still like, no.
No, yeah.
Nah, just no.
Anyway, Kanye did not come up with Django and Shane. Nicolas Cage is back as, what is his character name? Benjamin Franklin Gates.
No relation to Bill.
Oh, Benjamin Franklin. No, he is related to Benjamin Franklin.
No, no. They are descendants from someone who was there.
Yeah, Mr. Gates.
At the signing, yes.
He was at the gates. He's coming back as for National Treasure. I love these films.
Dude.
Say what you want.
No, those two movies are fucking National Treasures themselves. They were so fun when they came out.
It's so fun. It's so fun.
And like this version of Nicolas Cage, the shit he figures out as Benjamin Gates, where he's like, oh, that letter was written on paper. Paper, it comes from trees.
Yeah, papyrus.
And then he somehow magically figures out that they need to press that button over there because trees grow from grass.
Brilliant.
Amazing.
Amazing. Totally believable.
Totally.
Yeah, fuck it. He can do no wrong now. I think this is his vibe.
He's at a point now where he can like pick and choose which films he wants to do. And
but that's the thing.
I'm like, along for it, bro.
He must. He can revisit those characters that if there's a story to tell there and there's still some halabalas.
Mm.
He can revisit them and he can still give us the Cage.
I feel like, look, where they ended off, it's not like they needed another movie. It's just like we love those characters.
They can go back, go to a country that America sort of colonized even.
Yeah.
And they can still be American, because it's all around American history, yes. Right? And I would love it if they find out like something fucking horrible, because the way they praise American history is very pro-American.
This is like the Peter Berg.
So I would love it if they actually find out some horrible dodgy stuff. Yeah, yeah.
I doubt they will. I mean, it's Disney and all of that, so
still
don't think they're going to be.
But I'm glad to see him. I'm glad to see him back.
I'm excited for it.
Welcome back, Mr. Gates.
He was just waiting for us to welcome him.
It's time for a review.
This week we're reviewing two movies, the first of which is Nope, directed by horror maestro himself, Jordan Peele. This film is about two siblings running a horse ranch in California. You think that's hovering here?
Running a horse.
It's about two siblings running a horse ranch in California who discover something wonderful and sinister in the skies above, while the owner of an adjacent theme park tries to profit from the mysterious otherworldly phenomenon. This movie has got Daniel Kaluuya, Kiki Palmer, Steven Yeun. Anyone else I need to really mention? Those are like the core three. Oh, who's the...
Michael something.
What's his face? Angel.
Angel.
Oh, I need to find out who's Angel also.
You didn't even link... Oh, you did.
Brandon Perea plays Angel, and then Michael Wincott plays cinematographer dude, Antlers Holst.
Endless.
Oh, Keith David's in this as well as the father of Daniel Kaluuya and Kiki Palmer.
He's an all-star.
All-star. I have to mention him.
Well, one of the best voices in the game.
Fantastic, bro. Mr. President himself from Rick and Morty. Yeah.
So, Nope. Yeah, you were waiting for this film, eh?
I was, but I also had some trepidation because I didn't really like Us. All that much.
I don't like Us that much either.
Loved Get Out. Did not. I don't like Us either. And I feel like that's why we haven't recorded in a while.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. No.
So I was excited about this, especially when we saw that first image come out and it was just mysterious and we had no idea what's clapping. The first trailer came out. I was like, okay, this looks interesting.
Yeah.
And then I stopped. I cut myself off from any other marketing material. Before we even start, have you heard any of the reviews for this movie? Or did you read up on anything before we watched it?
I read
up
on before I watched it. I can't remember, actually. We've seen it a while ago, to be fair. Like, I watched it a real while ago.
Yeah.
But I didn't really look at the reviews because I tried to judge. You know my beef with Jordan Peele.
Mm.
I think he's still riding on the coattails of Get Out.
Yeah.
And he hasn't done anything that warrants that much praise to date.
Mm.
Oh, you'll find out my thoughts on Nope as we go along.
Mm-hmm.
And I was just like, okay, I'll take every film as it comes and not try and be influenced by other people.
Yeah, I mean, we both try and do that as much as we can before we obviously do an episode on the thing. But what I had seen without going into any type of spoilery reviews was that this was quite divisive. Like, people were...
Yeah.
It was more divisive than anything he's done before.
Yeah.
So I was interested about that going into this movie. I was like, oh, shit, is this now going to be another... Either I'm going to love this or hate this type vibe.
Let's get into the story. I mean, it's quite unique. I mean, in terms of what we did find out is extraterrestrial vibes going on, but you weren't like sure of what exactly it is. And I think that's the kind of the best way to watch these types of films.
It's
going like blend them all. And I don't want to give away too much in the non-spoiler section.
Yes. I mean, look, the little description I read is, I think, fairly accurate. Yeah. What you can add is that Keith David plays their father.
Mm.
So they have a successful, quite early in the film, but they have a successful horse ranch, and their horses are used for stunts in movies. So they have a connection to the film industry as a family.
Yeah.
And they still, like, their current work is that they provide the horses, train the horses, and make sure that the crew hopefully stays safe on set.
And the horses are safe on
set. And the horses as well, because people are fucking stupid.
But it's a struggling business. They obviously now inherited this in the OJ.
Yes.
Daniel Kaluuya's character.
Yo, when that woman's reaction when when he says my name's OJ. Odell Jr.
He's now struggling to keep the business afloat, but he's not sure if he's got the
Otis,
the minerals. Otis Jr. And then Kiki Palmer's character, who plays his sister, she is
part Apple of the business. Yeah, she's part of the business, but she's also
what's her name?
Emerald. Yeah, she's part of the business, but she's also got like a lot of side hustles, and seems like
she's not fully invested in it. So she's just there because obviously that's the income at the moment, but she's trying to get out. Hey, and that is perfectly illustrated in that opening scene where he's now there. He's not the face of the business. He doesn't want to be.
He's really not good at that side of it. Like, he is terrible at interacting with people, at even just like instructing people with what they need to do.
So then she comes in and she gives the intro for like the business and stuff.
But she's late because of... Yeah.
That scene actually took like 14 takes apparently.
Really?
Yeah, Jordan Peele said that every time she did it, it was vastly different.
I'd be fascinated to see the rest of it. Really, like I'd love to see the rest of what she came up with.
Because Kiki Palmer is a character.
Yeah.
And I love her in this film, I must be honest.
Acting-wise, like her and Daniel Kaluuya are, I think this is some of my favorite work that they've done.
Also, she says she's missing a great when she talks about...
The ancestor.
Great.
He says it to her.
She misses one because that was the way her father said it to her.
Oh.
And then, so... I say this because this fucking movie is filled with little details.
There's a lot you need to
and
be.
And homages and Easter eggs and all this cuck. It's too much, actually.
Yeah, I actually, the way that I took it in was to let it kind of wash over me,
Just wash it over me.
Don't watch it, wash it.
Also, are you on this...
Chris.
Are you on this TikTok trend where apparently guys don't fucking wash their assholes?
I can neither confirm nor deny the state of my ass.
Guys are just admitting that they don't actually wash their bums.
But why?
Because it's gay.
To wash your bum?
I don't understand. I can't believe. So
I'd love to peel back the layers on.
Because the women are like, why are you openly admitting this? Also, you are my boyfriend. Mm. Like, they're asking their boyfriend these things and they're like, no, they just look like water run down.
No active washing. It's a very passive.
Look, I say it's because it's gay, but I feel like there's like this.
The stigma around touching their ass.
Yeah.
They do realize at some point they need to start getting their prostates checked, right?
You can't walk around with a dirty bum, man. Listen to your brother.
It itches. It itches like
wash your bum. Also, I saw this doctor who says that you should actually be sticking a little finger up there to clean it.
Yeah. Get rid of the particles, excrement particles.
Mm.
The detritus.
I'm not there yet, to be honest. But
the detritus of your derriere.
I scrub aggressively.
Vigorously.
No, agree, like I hate that. Want that shit clean. It's not clean until you see blood, it's baby.
Hate love. Yo,
nope.
I was picturing the you know, in Psycho when they kill Janet Leigh.
Yeah.
Spoiler. Blood.
Just a pool. And you're like, yep, I'm done.
So obviously, this all links intrinsically
into
Nope.
Nope. Yeah.
But speaking of the actors, so Daniel Kaluuya.
Everyone is.
Yo, this is amazing. Like top notch, right? Mm. Like the performances are brilliant.
Yeah.
This Michael Wincott as well as the cinematographer guy.
Amazing.
In the fucking zone the whole time.
He was actually wearing the actual cinematographer's scarf and stuff.
Yes.
Apparently, he was very loosely based on the actual,
cinematographer. Stephen Yeun, I'm glad, is doing this type of thing and not whatever the fuck he was doing with the Space Jam sequel. You know, we just played in, more jam.
Yeah.
Jammier. Yeah.
More space between the jam.
More sugar in my jam this time.
Apricot, always.
Mm. Smooth.
Don't fuck with that.
Not
throw
rough.
Bullshit.
Nah, bro.
I don't want seeds in my teeth.
Yeah,
bitch.
bro.
Anyway.
All of the performances in your top notch.
Top notch.
I grew to love Angel.
Oh yeah, Angel. Yeah, I love Angel as well.
He was so bloody hilarious.
He was just a guy trying to help him, and then he's like, next
constantly
thing you know, he's in the
but like oversharing, just pitching up at the farm, just calling them randomly.
He just wanted friends.
Yeah, it's hard. It's very hard to discuss the plot without really going into spoilery parts. But what I will say is that the film is quite. It deliberately jars us in terms of where it starts off.
Yeah.
The opening scene and then subsequently what happens. Like, you are literally...
It's beautiful as well.
You're caught off guard, or it throws you off because you're like, what does that have to do with what's coming?
Yes, there's a plot that is... it doesn't really add anything, in my opinion.
For me, it ended up doing...
I know there's parallels.
Mm.
In terms of, well, dealing with animals, there's a big theme about like animals and wild animals and predators and prey.
And not learning from what happened before.
Exactly, but it could have been left out for me.
And you know what was actually for me about, like, almost all the material that I, because I was avoiding every Nope article I could until I watched the movie.
Mm.
But everything that was coming out was referencing like Gordy and certain and other things.
Yeah.
Like, what does that got to do with, anything?
Yeah.
So even as much as I was not going into articles, you still see images as you like scrolling and headlines and whatnot.
Yeah.
So I was quite confused about all of that going in. That part I know didn't mind. I actually felt like the way that I understood the film, it added quite a bit to the layers of it.
Sure, I see you. There were layers. It's like an onion.
Yeah, peel them back.
Well, parfait. Jordan peeled them back.
cook them up nice and sweet.
Mm, yeah, don't burn them.
No.
Caramelize them.
Here we go.
The secret is low heat.
Mm.
Anyway.
A constant simmer. Butter.
Ooh.
Butter
make everything better.
Margarine is not butter.
Mo butter.
Listen
mo
to your brasser.
Oh, yeah.
Margarine is not butter.
Whoa, why are you... Oh, you went too loud now.
I was upset. That
it went into the red and it was like... Ah!
That's what margarine does to me.
Okay, so should we give our rating and say quiet or not?
Sure. Is there anything else we can talk about?
No, not without spoiling things, I think. I mean, the plot overall was fine. I was a little disappointed, I would say that, with the overall plot and what eventually was revealed to me.
Yeah, what I'll add there, actually, on the plot is that I think what's happened now because of Jordan Peele's reputation is that I'm almost... like worried that I'm not understanding things, even if I am understanding the movie perfectly well.
That's the problem.
Are there layers to this I'm not getting?
They think he's so. He's positioned as this such a smart director
and
screenwriter. Yeah, that if you don't get it, then you are the problem.
Yes,
and I don't think that's fair.
No, I don't, because like in the end, I felt like I get this movie, but as I'm watching it, I had this discomfort of, is there stuff I'm not understanding here that I should be, that I'm not getting, that would add to?
It's not you.
Thank you. I just wish people would just tell me that sometimes.
I know, I mean? Need to hear it as well.
It's not you, Ross.
It's not me. Thank you. I appreciate that.
So quite spoilers. Quite. I really enjoyed this movie.
I would also say it's quite. I mean, it's original. And anytime someone releases a movie that is original, it gains points in my book. And I want to support that film. And I want that film to be successful.
Yeah.
So it's an original idea. I think it's well executed. I had my
great issue. Acting.
Yeah, great acting.
Great acting.
I had my issues with it, but overall, I'm going to say it's a quiet.
I didn't even end up having issues with it
You must have issues with it.
For myself.
No, I'm joking.
Once I'd reconciled that I'm understanding the film, I was like, no, I'm enjoying this. This is much better than Us.
Mm.
Not as good as Get Out, but still a very enjoyable experience and one that had me thinking about the themes that he spoke about in a way that I was like, yeah, this is dope. I actually enjoyed it.
Okay, so quiet for you as well.
Mm.
Let's get into spoilers. My phone is recording.
Yes. Spoilers.
You can also do it, eh?
The noise.
You don't have it, though. it's an alien, and a lot of people die.
Yeah. NOPE is an acronym.
Yeah.
Not off planet Earth. There we go.
Which hasn't officially been said, though.
No, it wasn't officially, but it was theorized from very early into the marketing.
In the first trailer, in the Super Bowl trailer, they were not of planet Earth. But
Keith David dies. Very early.
The way he dies is quite cool. It's a coin. Yeah. And you discover that what we perceive as to be UFOs, that's actually the entire thing is an alien life form.
Yes. Which is pretty much like a wild animal.
Yeah, it's like in a wild animal, exactly. So the rules of nature and the universe is like throughout the universe. That's kind of what I've got from it.
Then there's also the things around, so this is where we can start making the connection now with like the prologue of this film. And, was it epilogue, sorry? No prologue.
Prologues before.
Yeah, that one, the prologue. So in the movie starts off with, like, it's we don't see anything, but there's lots of screaming and stuff. It sounds like a sitcom's being filmed, and then things go wrong. Like, things go badly wrong.
Mm.
And then opens up with the image of a monkey with, like, bloody paws or chimpanzee.
It's an ape, chimpanzee. Yeah. It's not a monkey, it's
with
an ape.
Bloody paws and shit, and clearly he has killed numerous people. And then we sort of start with the rest of the movie and start going into it. So this movie, the strong recurrent theme there is like the wild animals and the danger around wild animals, the connection to film and all of that, which to me was initially quite jarring, but in the end I was like, okay, cool, you were laying the groundwork for your later reveal.
Sure, but I don't think like the connection animal. Was strong enough for me. Just because, Steven Yeun, I understand his journey. Like, he was on that show, he plays a kid that was on the show.
Yeah.
He survived.
Mm.
And
the only one who was unscarred and survived.
The chimpanzee didn't kill him. And then he kind of did it again. He had this.
Pretty much.
Using the jean jacket. They give the alien the nickname Jean Jacket because of a horse that couldn't be tamed, right?
Yeah. That Kiki Palmer's character was supposed to get when she was younger.
Yeah, but they couldn't break that horse.
Yes.
And so he said, this is just like Jean Jacket.
Mm-hmm.
So they called the thing Jean Jacket, and Steven Yeun was using Jean Jacket for his own personal gain in his little show.
Yeah, but I think the other lesson...
Sacrificing horses?
Yeah.
What a
that
monster.
He was buying from.
Yes.
Fuck off. But I think the other lesson there is that he was also making money off of what had happened on that sitcom because he had a whole room that he had set up to pay tribute to.
Yeah, memorabilia of that horrible event.
Yeah, so clearly he's someone who has not learned from the trauma of what's come before and is just like reenacting it to the point where it happens again. Like things go wrong in a way that he doesn't foresee.
Classic capitalist.
Yeah. You know, what's the other... Did you get the comparison also about film and digital with this movie?
This was filmed on film.
Yeah, but I'm saying in terms of the storyline and almost like the comparison of the old ways of doing things with the new, which is the other thing that I liked about it.
Yes, of course I got that.
So, like Daniel Kaluuya... Like, he's someone who clearly is out of place doing both sides of everything. of the world.
Prata lang.
Is it warning me for length and loudness?
We still have another movie to do.
Okay. So, but I think that's the last thing I want to say, is that there's also this comparison of doing things the analog way versus the new way with filming and stuff. So even the cinematographer, Brad, like, he came in, he does things the old way. That's the only way that they could capture this thing on film. There's that aspect of legacy that's important to this family as well, because they were the first people put to film too, and they would have been the first ones to put Alien to film as well. So that to me was also a really interesting parallel that was being drawn in this movie that I also enjoyed quite a lot. And I was like, I don't know if I'm supposed to get this, but that's how I interpret it and understand it. So it's dope. Quite liked it.
No, so what did you think of the alien afterwards? I mean, it was quite mysterious in the beginning, hiding behind a cloud and
looking like a blip, and
and then sucking people up and sort of eating them whole or absorbing them whole and then discarding the non-organic materials, and then revealing itself in the end to be this huge,
big, plumey, like a camera, also like taking pictures. Did you not care?
No, I didn't. I think I didn't care. Really.
Yeah. But you see, this is all things that I felt like I was enjoying the references with that, because it looked like a camera when it had a little square that flashes, and when you make contact with it, you like don't die, which is the last thing we must talk about, actually.
You don't die.
No. Is Daniel Kaluuya dead?
No.
Is he not dead for you?
I don't think so.
Ah, that's interesting.
He's revealed in the end.
Yeah, but I interpret that as her seeing him as a vision. That he,
why?
Because, okay, so Jordan Peele's take on this.
Oh, God.
I didn't know there's a controversy.
This is why I roll my eyes at this shit.
I didn't know there's a controversy, because I watched it and I'm like, he's dead. And then Jenna told me about, she thinks he's alive because she saw him there. But Jordan Peele says, I filmed this in a very specific way, in a specific sequence of events, and I think that that makes it pretty clear. Now, if you look at what happened, they've prefaced it by saying that if you make eye contact with this thing, you're dead. There's no way to avoid it. And he does all the symbolic stuff with her, where he's like, I see you and stuff, that they have their connection, him and his sister. And then he's like doing a sacrifice of himself as the old form, like the old way of doing things, in order for her to succeed with the new way of doing things. So I interpret it as, even though we don't see him dying, that he sacrificed himself so that she could get away and kill that alien.
I don't care.
Okay.
No, honestly, I'm not trying to be funny. It's just like, it was fine for me on face value. I really don't give a shit.
But I didn't even know that there's a, like, there are different views on it. I just accepted it as like.
I don't want, Jordan Peele must stop doing interviews.
Because he's deep.
No, it's bullshit. Just make your movie, man.
I enjoyed this. I enjoyed it a lot.
I also enjoyed
like
it.
Like a lot. Most,
like on surface level, it's fine. And I just want, that's the thing with like Get Out. It was smart, but not pretentious.
And now it's becoming more and more pretentious.
Exactly. Yeah. And it's grating for me, because everybody is expecting him to have all this underlying meaning and all this shit. And then he sort of feeds into that at some certain points.
I agree with you.
So I need him to chill out.
Agreed. No, I get your sentiment. But this movie resonated with me. I actually enjoyed it quite a lot.
No, that's good. That's good. I'm glad.
In any case, we do have another one we have to
go on. We do have another one. So that's, two quotes from us. Watch it if you want to.
Yeah.
Cool thing, last little thing.
Oh, you have some fun facts for us.
Well, I do, but I mean, we don't have time because you took all the time.
I'm sorry.
No, it's fine. the scenes at night, interestingly enough, was filmed during the day.
Really?
Yeah. So for lighting purposes, because much of it was done in the dark, they came up with the idea of filming it in the day and actually applying filters and special effects to make it nighttime. That's why things are so clear. You can see everything, and everything is so beautifully like filmed.
Yeah.
I think it was brilliant. I thought it was a genius idea.
Yeah.
Because that's my one issue. I mean, my TV is not the newest. So if I do watch things at home, there's when things are a bit dark, it's hard to see. So I do appreciate that. It wasn't like that Game of Thrones episode.
The whole final season.
The whole thing is the thing.
Wait, who killed him?
What happened?
Is that the Night King or is it Johnson?
Is the TV off?
Cool. Our next film is Barbarian, directed by Zach Cregger. This one is about a young woman who discovers the rental home she booked is already occupied by a stranger. Against a better judgment, she decides to spend the night, but soon discovers there's a lot more to fear than just an unexpected house guest. This film has... Well, first of all, Bill Skarsgård's in the trailer. He was very front and center in a lot of the marketing material, which obviously was for a reason. Starring Georgina Campbell and then also Justin Long. I think that's just about our main folks. Richard Brake plays Frank, who we see later in the movie.
Mm.
And the mother is played by Matthew Patrick Davis. Did not know that.
6'8". So without spoilers, this is... I think the best way, first off, is to go in...
Completely blind.
So if you haven't watched it, I suggest you go and watch it before listening to us talk about it.
Yes.
As a belief.
So press pause.
We'll wait.
Go watch it. I can do that for an hour and 40.
Hour 40. Also, love that runtime.
Love it.
So, now that you've seen it, without spoilers, I think this movie is creepy as hell, man.
I had literal gasps.
It was
during
so
this movie.
Well made. Like, from the... Because Abby asked me afterwards, like, why is all horror movies, like, so cheap? Like, the locations and the, you know, there's not... And I'm saying, because people don't invest in horror movies.
No.
They don't want to invest in horror movies because they think genre, but... I think that is a good thing because it gives the storytellers this unique perspective of like, how can I tell a horrific story in the small
with as
little
space money as possible.
As money as possible.
Dude, everyone's aiming for the Blair Witch, right? Because that movie cost like $200,000 to make and made like millions and millions at the box office.
Oh, did you know that they were supposed to reveal the witch at the end?
Yes, it was an
accident. It was a mistake, by the cameraman.
I read it this week.
Yeah, me too.
They filmed it with everything and then they
it was brilliant.
Anyway.
Dude,
this movie, you sent me a message on like Wednesday night. Like, watch Barbarian, that is all. And what I did was to not go and I didn't see any trailers.
Guy.
I know. I didn't see any trailers and that is the absolute best way to go into this.
100%.
Because right off the bat, like there are elements of things like Cabin in the Woods, which, and I love that film, but like jarring shifts in tone that like don't make sense. They just like hit you.
But I like the shit. I like them taking, you know, going left instead of going right.
Yeah.
Like I love that shit, but I felt so anxious. It's like the first act of this film is
it is anxiety put to film.
Builds and builds and builds and builds.
And I think that's where like the Bill Skarsgård thing comes in because Bill Skarsgård, for people who don't know, is a guy who played It. Right? So when people see him, they immediately think he's the villain.
Guy.
What's he gonna do?
Yeah, he's gonna kill.
And the director knows this and 100%. He uses this.
100%.
He weaponizes your like thinking on this guy so well in this movie. It is genius
what he does. The little things, I mean, the way the story is told, we are shown, we're not told anything. Like you learn so much just by the what the characters do instead of the characters saying what is happening.
Yeah, there's not unnecessary exposition.
100%.
And there's a lot of things that get thrown at us because the protagonist played, what's her name? Georgina Campbell.
Georgina Campbell, plays, I was going to say.
So she plays Tess. And so she is our proxy for this movie, right?
Yeah.
And when she comes there, it is pouring with rain. It's late. She's getting phone calls.
It's like the worst nightmare for a woman.
Yes. And she's getting phone calls on the phone the whole time. And like, so a basic premise, she's rented this place. She gets there and there's already someone in the place. This guy, Bill Skarsgård, is already in the place. She has issues getting in. The agent that she rented it from through Airbnb is not answering the phone.
The whole time. No.
The real villain of the fucking movie.
It's the Airbnb people.
It's Bunny.
100%. 100%. To the point where you're not sure if they're good or bad.
Yeah.
Anyway. But the whole time through that first, like, Abby is just like, are you just? I will never. Are you just? I will never.
But she, so they contrive.
Even that when she arrives there and she looks in the, she looks at the neighborhood in the
and she can't
darkness.
See anything. Yeah.
Come on.
Yeah, there's not a light to be seen.
Yes.
Like, but this is all, you know, it's relevant. It's all relevant.
You just keep asking yourself, are you just? Are you just? I will never.
But look, the way that they contrive for her to now go into the house and things and, it's okay. Yeah. It might be pushing the limits of believability, but it makes sense story-wise. Yeah. And then the director starts knocking us with, like, oh, you think this is going to happen? Yeah. Oh, you think that's going to happen?
It's like, ooh, it's a red flag. Oh, wait, no, that it's not that. Oh, it's this the whole time.
And even the way that... The reason that she starts trusting him is like, you know, there's a mutual bonding over a shared thing.
And I said, like, when that happened, I said, I told Emmy, and just like that, the defenses dropped.
But that is so true of humans. That is how we are. Yeah. Like, I can go to a complete stranger, and if I find out that there's a random thing that they like that I like as well, we're somehow going to click and talk, and your defenses go down about everything.
Yeah.
So that I completely believed, because I feel like that is human nature.
Even to the point where she was locking the door the entire time.
Until
and after that night.
Yeah, I'm going to go sleep now. So in a Knobby drug.
That first, I mean, if you do have issues with the later acts of the film, I won't hold that against you.
Yeah, I think that's a preference thing, but that's a preference thing.
That first act is fucking, it might be one of my favorites of the year, this film.
Yeah, no, with that setup. And it's also little things like the camera angles, the tight shots on certain things, and the wide angle, the fish eye on other things.
The pitch darkness in areas that is just, it's anxiety inducing. Yes. Just looking into the darkness and you're like, what the fuck is in there?
I'm not.
And her reaction. So there's a point where she goes into, without spoilers, she goes into this area and it's pitch dark and she literally says what everyone is thinking.
Nope.
It's the best. The story structure is also quite cool. Once it builds to a certain climax, and then you switch to another character, which is Justin Long's character.
Yeah,
and
again, that jarring shift there, I was like...
It was good. I liked it.
And that was, again, Cabin in the Woods, one of my favorite. The Cabinet in the Woods.
Because if you look at it like a graph, no, it builds like that, and then it goes like... So I really enjoyed that. Yeah. And then you see Justin Long's character and you discover his story and you figure out how he's linked to the whole thing. Yeah, without spoiling.
Top notch.
I'm not even a horror guy. But because, this is how I usually play it. If I'm going to spend time watching a horror film.
It must be worth your while.
It has to be like your input or whoever else's input that I trust, it has to be like, this is class. And from what I gather, this year alone, we're getting great horror films. Yeah. We just didn't have the time to watch all of them.
No, but this is right up there.
100%.
The reason that Jenna knew this as well is while she's like, did Ross watch this? That's how you know.
Ooh, it's a carny, everywhere carny. So I love this film. I'm going to say it's a quiet for me.
Dude, this was very, very, very quiet for me.
Yeah.
Amazing. Again, like... The tonal shifts might not hit with everyone, but the intensity of the tension in this, it's unmatched.
Unmatched. So if you could give us the spoiler. I don't even know what to spoil because there's so many things.
Keith dies.
The homeless man dies. What's a horrible
dude? Justin Long dies. Keith's death is, I think that's the one that will shock people.
Because
the core.
Yeah, that's the first.
Because of all the setup.
Yeah, so the setup in itself is everything goes and builds, and her defenses drop with the stranger, and she's lying in bed, and she realizes that a door has been opened, and she goes to wake him, and he's like, what the
fuck? But it's not just that. He's having nightmares. So the person that she's met, who was friendly, who was like, no, you take the room. Are you comfortable? Do you want to watch me make your tea? All of that goes out the window and it's like, wait.
Yeah.
He's going to be the villain.
That
now.
In itself is like creepy for women, right? I mean, that whole thing, she shouldn't have been there with him alone, but him, the weird thing of him trying to make her feel safe is unsettling in itself.
And you know what?
No, I'll carry the bags.
Yes.
All this.
It's that, but also the way that he starts off weary. Right, he's welcoming her in starts off weary, and then you're like, But now he suddenly is like giddy happy that she's there.
Yeah.
And he's like, oh, can I make you tea? Yeah. Can I make, do you want some wine?
Weird, oh, man.
It's weird. It looks like they are setting it up as he's positioned himself to.
But that's how men are, aren't they? Like, they think they're doing, you know, but for a woman who's living in this fucking world, it's everything is terrifying.
And again, how our expectations are subverted, because when she now finds the hidden rooms and stuff, and Keith eventually gets home, you're like, what the fuck, man? Keith is like just disappearing and he's not saying anything. You expecting that, okay, the twist is going to be he's a fucking bad guy.
Yeah, yeah. He's a killer of some kind.
And then no.
He's not. He's actually just a regular guy with the hubris to, and he doesn't trust women apparently, because she discovers this. That in itself is creepy. The whole tunnel system and the rooms underneath the house. And I love the way it was, okay, first it's a room.
Yes.
And you're like, okay, this room is creepy as shit.
There's a camera stained there, mattress, stained bucket. Mattress,
a bloody handprint on the wall. Mm. What the fuck?
And then it gets worse.
There's another room, a darker room.
Oh, worse room.
And then you go in there and there's tunnels and like another, this whole fucking thing is built underground.
A wall that's been carved out. Like the walls are like chiseled out. Like this tunnel is chiseled into this thing.
It's just deeper and deeper.
It looks like you're going into Yal.
And I'm like, yo. And then she's like, fucking, okay, enough. And that door also the malfunctioning door.
Yeah.
She gets locked in there and that's how she discovers this whole thing. But she comes out and she's like, bruh, there's some fucked up shit down there. It's fucking scary. We need to get out of here.
He's just like, don't go, don't go.
Someone tells me that,
I'm with you.
I'm packed already.
Yeah, I'm like, it's like that. Maybe I'm not even packed. Entertainer joke. It's like, you see a bruh running. I don't wait for
The hubris of this man to be let me just go. Okay, just fucking.
Just wait, don't go. I'm going to go investigate.
Yeah, and then he doesn't come back. She has to go and find him. And that's where you get the climax and you discover the mother. Who is this?
Ooh.
Hulking naked fucking figure of like inbreeding and shit. So that I also love that reveal. There's 2 points where it like it's jarring and it cuts and they reveal things to you.
But it's, and then it's like we start at the new beginning.
Yeah,
like you said, we build on that graph and then we build and
And then into the climax. It's perfectly executed.
So when Keith gets killed by mother, we have our first shift to Justin Long skitting in his Porsche in like mountain.
You automatically on his side because it's Justin Long.
Yeah.
You know, he's a babyface guy, or not so much anymore, but you know, you're just a fan of him. Yeah. And then the more you discover about him, the more you realize he's a very bad person.
He's a duss.
Yeah, he's a duss. To the point where he's the one that actually owns the house. And he goes in, he's been accused of sexual assault. And at first you're not sure, but the more you learn about him, you're like, okay, yeah, he fucking did it.
He did it, for sure.
No question. Then he goes to the house because he now has to view his assets and get money and he's trying to sell things off. To the point where he discovers this room, this creepy room, which we just went through from the one character's perspective, and he discovers this creepy room, and it's like, oh my God. And he's like,
the first thing.
More square footage.
The first thing he does
is Google.
Can I get more money for this stuff? How do you calculate square footage of a property? Is literally the first thing he goes to check.
Creepiest room on the planet, and he's measuring it to the measuring tape.
And when he finds the next door that goes into
bonus, just keeps pulling it further. And
he just keeps pulling his tape measure. He doesn't care that he is.
Yeah,
it's not why are there hidden doorways and passages, and why is there blood on the wall, and why is there a shit stained bucket on the floor? Money, my bro. Which I think is also,
brilliant. It's his one-track mind. It
completely reveals his character for certain.
Disregard.
We see earlier like snippets of it, like little bits
even
of
when
it.
He's looking at a laptop.
Yeah.
And he just chucks it.
Yes.
And he's done with it. It's fucking insane. I would never do that.
Yeah.
But he did. No, brilliant. And then we find out the man who used to live there was actually a sicko. And he would stalk women and bring them there. And the mother in question is a product of inbreeding.
Multiple inbreeding. Multiple inbreeding. Like,
what did he say? He had babies and he had babies with those babies.
Yes.
And you make a copy of a copy of a copy. And that's where you get mother.
I mean, that, even the homeless character, you didn't even say, we didn't mention the reveal of what the street looks like in the daytime.
Yeah. Oh my God.
When she eventually comes out the next morning. Oh my fuck.
It's like, I would never.
Because everyone's kind of like, wait, where is this place? Like,
yeah, she goes context. For a job interview in the city, and the person who interviewed her asked, oh, where are you staying? And she's like, I'm staying here.
Brightmore.
Barbary Street in Brentwood. Brightmore,
Brentwood something.
And she's like, are you joking? And she's like, no, it's not that bad. Yeah, the area looks a little fucked.
She's like, they should not be a Airbnb
she's
there.
Like, you shouldn't be there. She's like, what the fuck? The police don't believe her. They think she's a drug addict when she eventually gets out. Yeah. And her biggest flaw is trying to help.
Constantly.
The people.
Yeah. And okay, so where the name barbarian comes in is like...
Who is the true barbarian?
Exactly. It's like the whole discussion around who is the true barbarian. It's because
men. It's men. Men are the barbarians.
Men are trashers. One thing you can confirm from this movie. But it's like there's this... So in a normal horror movie, the character of the mother would be revealed and it's like, oh, there's the big bad.
Yeah.
But now we find out the context of why that person is there. Yeah. And all the mother really wants, because all she's been watching for like 30 or 40 years is a video about how to nurture a baby.
She just wants a baby.
She just wants a baby to take care of.
Yeah.
And when this woman, when Tess tells Justin Long's character,
just drink the milk.
Just
the
drink
up.
The milk and act like a baby. And he's like, fuck that. Mustache. I know how to do this. Blah, blah, blah. And then and the homeless guy also tells us the bit of the mother's not the worst person there.
Yeah.
And then we see like the whole thing of Frank and he's still there, the main fucking bad guy.
And I love the fact, like the videotapes of all the victims.
Every single victim he's ever had.
And Justin Long watches it and he's just like, what the fuck is wrong with you?
Yeah. But then also more Justin Long shit later when they're like escaping from the mother. Yeah. And he literally sacrifices Tess.
Yeah.
Because he's like, you're going to have to distract her. Yeah. And he throws her off the top of that water thing.
Yeah. And there's one, and it's so well done. And then there's one moment of realness from that character, from Justin Long's character, where he was like, I just did a bad thing. And I just don't want to be.
Well, he says that, but he keeps doing bad things.
No, he did, but that's the thing. He was in that moment and he felt super bad. And it was a moment of like vulnerability. Mm. And then he just went back to his default character, which is a fucking asshole.
Yeah. But this movie was it hits you from so many different sides. I think it's going to be hard for me to find a movie that has so many unexpected twists and turns in it.
Yeah. Well, let's look at M. Night Shyamalan's next project. Oh. No, I'm joking. So Jordan Peele was an uncredited supervisor on this film, actually.
Oh, your favorite.
No. Jordan Peele in the right context is amazing. Mm. Get Out is still one of my favorite films ever. But he's friends with this Krieger guy.
Oh, okay.
And Krieger, as he was writing and developing the film, he would chat with Jordan and they would work things out and stuff. So I think there is some influence there. But I think, this Krieger guy is really one to watch.
Yeah, he's quite young, right? Because
he's young. If you see his face, you'll recognize him from like random stuff.
Yeah.
He's an actor first.
He's in a comedy troupe called The Whitest Kids You Know. A New York based comedy group. Yeah. And he was in Friends with Benefits, Guys with Kids, and Wrecked. Was that the... No, I was thinking of Trainwreck, the Amy Schumer thing.
No, it's not that same thing.
But he's been in a few things.
So he actually described the duality of the film and said it's a Fincher movie on the top floor and a Sam Raimi movie in the bottom floor.
That makes sense.
It does. That makes perfect sense.
Yeah. It's not as like Fincher's stuff as layered I get what you say. Yeah, it's exactly.
Fincher's quite deliberate and moody and it's kind of that build up is you're looking in the background.
Mm. Constantly looking
you
in the
know,
background.
You know it's a horror film, obviously. So you're constantly looking in the background, but the warning signs is right in front of you kind of thing. And it, man.
Now, in terms of... just moving. Dude, you don't have... For me, you haven't had a bad, like, I need to watch this movie yet. But this one is right up there with the my gasp moment. I actually wanted to tell you this one.
Which was when?
When Tessa's in that passage and she's like, Sean, Keith, and he comes crawling. He comes crawling and I'm like, that was me on the couch, right? I'm like, why the fuck is he crawling?
And he's just like, shut the fuck up.
He's like, shut the fuck up. There's someone else here. They bit me. And she's like, we need to go. And he's pulling her back. I'm like, you see, yeah, it's revealing he's the villain. And then there sticks like mother, bah. Yo, amazing. Dude.
Mm. And even him saying, we can't go that way. It came from that.
Yeah.
Jesus. But yeah, I thought this was quite funny. When Justin Long's character visits the office of the company that's running his Airbnb, they deny booking the place and all. So either they are working with Franca the mother or they're just totally incompetent.
I think it's the latter because Bonnie is conspicuous by her absence. She doesn't answer when the clients call the people who booked.
No.
But when Justin Long calls, she answered immediately.
Yeah.
So she is being deliberately obtuse about things.
Yeah, and she's like, no, we didn't book it. We only send a cleaning crew if someone's coming.
Yeah, even that made no sense, eh? Because he's like, but don't you clean this place regularly? She's like, no, only if someone uses it. He's like, but what if I came here and it's dirty? And she's like, is it dirty? Nah, Bunny's the real bad guy in this thing, dude.
But interesting, we were talking about the title, and not even the director can confidently speak to the title's true meaning. In a recent interview, he said that the title originally just served as a placeholder while he wrote the script. But as the story progressed, it ended up feeling fitting, and he just kept it there. And it kind of works.
You don't have to understand it. It's true. Sometimes it's like subconsciously you just know this is what it should be.
Nah, it works. It works. I really enjoy this film. I think you should watch it. And
but go into it in the way that
you say. Go into it blind. I mean, if you made it this far into the episode, then fucking hard.
Don't watch it now. Don't watch it now.
Class, my bro.
Loved it.
Okay, no shout out.
No shout out this week.
Okay, so if someone wanted to find
shout out to you for kicking COVID's ass.
I don't even think I kicked its ass. I think it's still there.
You gave it a two-get.
I think it's still there. I'm very tired. If anyone wanted to find us, Jody, how would they do that?
They can find us Bicycle Brasser podcast on Insta, TikTok, and Facebook. And then they can email us at bicyclebrasser@gmail.com.
Oh, where? Everybody stay safe. Safe, Jody.
Safe, Ross.
Keep it a good game.